L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingen and Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley, here with you on this Wednesday morning. NHL free agency set to begin in a little less than 2 hours now. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Sean Rourke from NHL.com. Sean, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Dude, one of the best days of the year, and I got to spend it with two of the best people I know in Nashville, so this is awesome.
Well, that is very kind of you to say. We see the donut set up at the NHL.com offices as well, the yearly tradition. You just keep bringing the noise, Sean. It's good stuff.
I try and subvert everybody's diet.
That's right. So, Sean, obviously a lot that could potentially happen today. I want to start on the Pittsburgh front with Malkin coming back last night, signing a 4-year deal, just over $6 million per year. What did you make of that whole saga with Malkin and the Penguins? And is there any concern if you're a Penguins fan about his health moving forward here, given the fact that he's not been able to play a full season and has missed significant time the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, look, there's always concern, but I'm maybe old school, and it's not my money, so I don't really care. But I'm of the opinion that, you know, if you have a chance, you keep your core together for as long as you can. Look, I thought Letang was the more important signing of the two. I think he brings more to the table. I probably had his best year last year at 35. So I thought that deal at 6 years was a little long. But if anybody can play into their 40s, I think it's Chris Letang. You know, there's some concern with Malkin, and I think that's why it took so long to get it done. I think, you know, Sidney Crosby said, hey, I'd like to have another center behind me who can take some of the heat off of me. We've gone to war together a ton, and that window's still there. I think as long as you have Sidney Crosby, you need to do everything within your power to make it happen. When they signed Rickard Rakell the day before to a 6-year contract, I thought Malkin was out the door. And to be honest, I was a little sad about it because there's not a ton of loyalty, right, in sports. And Pittsburgh has a chance to let all those guys go to the end together and be part of a really special team. And, you know, you look at it, and the opposite of that is what's happening in Chicago, right? Like, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews are still there, but there's nothing else left. And the legacy that they built is going to be tarnished. It's not going to be ruined, but it's going to be tarnished by the late part of their career because they're going to be going through a huge rebuild. And I don't know, when you have transcendental players, you enter into that phase of your organization's history.
Sean, last night the Calgary Flames announced that Johnny Gaudreau would not be returning. He is, of course, the biggest name on the market. All reports suggest that he is headed your way to the Northeast Corridor, whether it would be that the New Jersey Devils or the Philadelphia Flyers or maybe even the New York Islanders. Which team, I know cap space is important, but just based on fit, which team that is rumored to be in on Johnny Gaudreau do you think is the best fit for him?
I think the best fit for him is the New Jersey Devils, right, depending on what he wants to do. If he's coming home to come home and competitive balance doesn't really matter, you know, he's basically entering the Calgary Flames all over again with the Devils. He's going to have to build into a contender, which he got to with the Flames, and then now he's walking away after they, you know, reach the second round of the playoffs. So, but I just think skill-wise, like, how could you not, as Johnny Gaudreau, want to be around that young core of talent, you know, that they've built up there with Heischer and Hughes and Bratt and all of those players? I think there's nothing but a long runway there. I would be concerned in Philadelphia. You know, they cleared a ton of cap space to try and get him signed, and they may still, but I think they're in a weird place where they're trying to contend, but they don't really have the pieces to necessarily do that. And it could be, you know, where they're just kind of in the middle for a long time. And then, look, the Islanders are probably the most accomplished of the three teams, but I'm not sure they're on their way up anymore. After two Eastern Conference Finals, they missed the playoffs last year. There's some questions about who they are and the way they play. And so I think the most upside is the New Jersey Devils, just talent-wise.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com on with us here on Robbie and Rexroth. So, Sean, the Predators re-signed Philip Forsberg. David Poile traded for Ryan McDonough from the Tampa Bay Lightning a couple of weeks ago. They probably still need a top six forward at some point today in free agency. But overall, what did you make of the Forsberg deal, the McDonough trade, and where the Predators sit heading into free agency now?
I thought Forsberg had to get done. To me, it's the same thing as Malkin, right? But he's in his prime, and you get him for the prime years of his career. I just don't know how you walk away from these types of players, especially when you have a little bit of leverage with the extra year and the familiarity with the organization and everything else. And, you know, maybe naively, I always thought Philip would come back because who wants to leave Nashville, right? As a city and as an organization, I think they're one of the class organizations in the league. I think David does a great job of running that team, you know, and I just think that they do things the right way, right? To me, it's a destination organization between quality of life, quality of the product on ice, quality of the way the players are treated. So I always thought that would happen. I thought the Ryan McDonough deal was a good deal. I think he, in a way, he replaces Ryan Ellis, not offensively or anything like that, but just that gritty leadership. Like, when you watch Ryan McDonough in the playoffs, he's played more playoff games than anybody else in the league since he was with the Rangers, and one of the reasons is because he's a playoff guy, right? Like, that's the way he plays the game, but he plays it that way during the regular season. Like, there are no shortcuts. There's no quarter given. I'd be a little concerned about some of the mileage that's on him, but, you know, I thought he looked good in the playoffs this year, and I think he'll help a Nashville team that's a little bit in transition. They've lost some of their voices of that run that they made deep into the playoffs, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And he can kind of come in and reintroduce some of that championship culture. So, you know, I think that's great. I do think they need to add a little, but I think they're right on the cusp. And you know, obviously the end of last year left a sour taste in everybody's mouth. But, you know, with no UC Soros and playing the eventual Stanley Cup champions who just outclassed everybody, I mean, they lost before they got to the final. They lost two games. So, you know, I think that left a sour taste and kind of people don't remember how good Nashville was and where they were trending toward.
Sean, which team are you most fascinated to watch in free agency? For me, I'm actually quite interested in what the Seattle Kraken might do because they do have a lot of cap space and it seems like they're going to be involved with every major free agent, at least, you know, pitching them on coming to Seattle and trying to build something there in their second season. But, you know, what team is that for you? Which team are you looking at more closely than others in terms of what they could do today?
Well, I think it's, for me, it's twofold, right? If Philadelphia doesn't get Johnny Gaudreau, they cleared all kinds of cap space. They bought out players. They moved players. Supposedly, they're still trying to move James Van Riemsdyk to free up even more cap space. And if they don't get Gaudreau, what are they going to do with that? Chuck Fletcher, their GM, has to do something. Like I said, he's kind of stuck in the middle right now. They traded for Toding D'Angelo, you know, and signed him to a big money deal. And he earned it on the ice last year. Obviously, there's some other stuff that comes with that. But, you know, they're always aggressive, and they seem to constantly be changing themselves on the fly, and they're in a really, really, really tough division. And then I look at the Edmonton Oilers, right? Like Evander Kane in the middle of the night signed, and he goes back to them. They need a goalie desperately. And the goalie for both them and Toronto Maple Leafs are really, you know, Toronto's going to go with Matt Murray. Do they add a second one for some sort of competition in a really tough goalie market? But the Oilers believe that they're like the Colorado Avalanche, I think, in that they're a serviceable goalie away from being a cup contender. You know, let's win games 4-3, 5-4. They almost did it in the playoffs this year, but the games got up into the sevens, and that got a little bit ugly. So, you know, I think they feel like, you know, Darcy Kuemper could be that guy. He's not elite, but he's good enough, obviously, to win a cup. He did it this year. And do they do that? Do they roll the dice there and say, okay, now I think we have it fixed, or do they go in a different direction? So, you know, I think they got a taste of who they can be this year in the playoffs, and also a taste of how far they are away when they played, you know, a better team. So to me, they're going to be really interested in what they do. And I never count Kenny Holland out of being creative. He's one of the most creative and aggressive GMs in the game.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sean, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and going to be fun today. Let's sit back and enjoy it.
It's going to be an awesome day. I can't wait to see how it unfolds, and then it'll be an awesome week breaking it down and killing everybody for the moves they made, right?
That's right. No question about it. Sean Rourke, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sean, thanks, my friend.
All right. Thank you, guys. Enjoy.
Absolutely. We'll take your thoughts on NHL free agency. What should the Preds do today? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. We are your race and station, by the way. 1025-1063 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the AM Better 301. Also, join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers to get you set for the racing weekend. NASCAR on 1025-1063 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. NHL free agency beginning today. Adam, we are less than 2 hours away from the official beginning of free agency. There's already been some moves that have been made in terms of re-signings. Evander Kane going back to the Oilers. Evgeny Malkin, and when it looked like he could be walking away from Pittsburgh, comes to an agreement last night. So 4 years, I think $6.1 million, roughly, the annual average value for Evgeny Malkin. So he's back in the fold there. And Johnny Gaudreau making it clear yesterday that he is not signing with Calgary and that he will be testing the market in free agency. So it looks like he's going to end up somewhere in the Northeast, maybe the Devils, maybe the Flyers, maybe the Islanders. But that looks to be the path for Johnny Gaudreau. The question is, what will the Nashville Predators do today as free agency begins? Forsberg's back in the fold. You've traded for Ryan McDonagh. You still need a top six forward, at least one, I think. What do you think the Predators do today? Who are some guys that kind of catch your interest that they could be looking at?
Well, there's actually something I wanted to throw out there. About an hour ago, Elliot Freeman tweeted that the Vegas Golden Knights are expected to announce extensions for Riley Smith and Brett Howden. I think it's Brett Howden. The Golden Knights are a team to watch, he says. Do they clear a room? And he said, I have heard Max Pacioretty's name out there. So I ask about Max Pacioretty. He has one more year on his contract. He's 33 years old, I believe. That's what I saw. He has a $7 million cap hit, which is a bit rich. But if you're looking for a veteran, proven, top six scorer who's only signed for 1 year, so you don't have to worry about the cap space to re-sign your Tanner Janos and Alex Carriers and Dante Fabros and Connor Ingrams. You know, if the Knights are not in a place to retain salary, I don't think, because they need to shed all of the salary they can get.
Correct.
So I'm not sure the $7 million cap hit would work. You know, it would make it tough for the Predators. It would be very tight. But would Max Pacioretty, would a trade from Max Pacioretty entice you if that were on the table?
I would certainly look into it. Now, knowing that Vegas needs to shed some cap, like, I don't know that the price would be that bad for Pacioretty. Like, I'm interested to see what it would be in terms of what a trade would look like for him at this point. He is 33. He'll be 34 coming up in November. $7 million, like you said, just 1 year remaining on that contract. I mean, you start talking about the top six. I mean, Max Pacioretty playing with Ryan Johansson would be nice. Like that to me is a pretty good result. Now, he only had 39 games last year, 19 goals, 18 points. So he's nearly a point per game player. I keep saying points instead of assist. 19 goals, 18 assists, 37 points. He was nearly a point per game player last night. Good gracious, last night, last season with the Vegas Golden Knights. So I like that option. What do you think of just his role and his fit, and what do you think the cost would be to get it?
Yeah, I like the player. I think Pacioretty has shown throughout his career that he can score a lot of goals. Let's see here. He has scored 30 goals five times, at least 30 goals five times in his career. No, six times. I'm sorry. He scored 30 goals six times in his career. Most recently in 1920, he had 32 goals in 71 games for the Vegas Golden Knights. Of course, a former captain of the Montreal Canadiens. So if you're looking for that experience, and as Sean was talking about, maybe filling some of that leadership void, Pacioretty, like McDonough, would certainly fit that mold. I wonder what the acquisition cost would be, because I'm sure the Knights are probably not looking to take salary back. You're looking at the trade that we saw from the Predators and the Lightning. You threw in Philip Myers and a prospect in Grant Mismatch. That was it. So I'm not sure if the Knights would accept a similar offer. I'm not sure what the equivalent would be for the Predators. But yeah, Pacioretty would allow you to improve in the top six, and would like you said, it's only 1 year. So if you don't want to re-sign him, you don't have to.
Yeah.
So that might be a more
that's intriguing. It really is
a better route. Then signing somebody. Darren Dreger reporting, sounds like the Colorado Avalanche are close to re-signing, and this is my editorializing, 67-year-old Darren Helm. expect a very similar deal to Andrew Cogliano 1 year.
It does feel like he's been around forever. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he had some big moments in the postseason.
Dennis on the text line says, didn't the Preds make a run for Pacioretty a few years back?
I believe they might have.
Look, they were rumored to make a run for
everybody
at that time.
Right. I would like to see. I'm trying to think of what that trade was from the Knights to the Knights and the Canadiens. I think Nick Suzuki was in that deal. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, in September of 2018, he was traded by the Canadiens for a second round draft pick, Nick Suzuki and Tomas Tatar.
Yes, and remember what happened less than 2 months later after that trade? The Predators got. No, that was actually the year after. So never mind. That was a year later with Kyle Turris.
Yes.
So scratch everything I just said.
You're struggling this segment.
Hey, I don't know. I'm texting back and forth with Jared. We're trying to figure some stuff out. But yeah, that was a year later.
You're texting back and forth with Jared?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Is he into our idea of charity boxing?
Well, maybe. Tannehill? We'll have to see.
Sponsored by whatever energy drink that Ryan Tannehill posted on his boat.
Yes,
that's the Celsius. Everyone off. Yes,
oh, yes.
Celsius.
Dennis also texts back in and says maybe they're just kicking the tires on
Mac tires. Well, get that horse poop off your shoe, Dennis.
Well done, Dennis. So it is going to be interesting because I do start thinking about guys on a 1 or 2 year deal. We played some audio earlier from David Poile. Matter of fact, Michelle, do we have that audio that we could pull up? Let's play that again from what David Poile had to say yesterday on Darren Donovan Chase. I thought his answer when he started talking about the Predators and what they could do today and the cap flexibility that they have, I thought his answer was pretty interesting and potentially kind of telling as to what the Predators could do today. Here's what David Poile had to say yesterday on the DDC.
David, as you look ahead, I can remember sometimes during free agency and also during the trade deadline, you come on a show like ours to say, look, the prices weren't the way we liked them. The prices were high. There's a supply and demand element every year. I'm curious what you think right now as you sort of carve out your budget to attack free agency here. You guys have said that you'd like to find maybe a top six forward. You have a budget, a ballpark, what you have ready to spend. It looks to me like there's a lot of possibilities out there, more so than some years. Maybe not at the very, very top. We'll see what happens in this last 24-hour period if some other guys are signed. But how do you like your options, maybe, to improve the roster?
Well, this too is complicated, even more complicated than the Forsberg negotiations. Let's start with the salary cap. We're in a situation coming out of COVID where we've made a deal with the Players Association in terms of their salaries and payback and all that stuff, that the cap is only going up $1 million this year, and it's only going up $1 million for the next 2 years. So we, like, and along with all the other clubs, are kind of hard-pressed to, you know, either letting guys go or not giving raises or, you know, trying to do all of those various and different things. For us, we have some money to spend on a forward in free agency, but a long-term contract is probably not in the cards, because when I look to next year, the following year, 23-24, where the salary cap only goes up a year, we have a number of players' contracts that are up next year, whether it be Carrier, Fabreau, Jeannot, you know, Trennan, just to mention four young guys. So they're coming off of, most of those guys are coming off of entry-level contracts. And if they keep playing the way they did last year, they're not just going to get a raise, they're going to get a substantial raise. So I can't oversign, I guess, if that is the word. I could do it this year to get to the cap, but if I sign somebody to a multi-year deal, then something's going to have to give next year.
So that was David Poile yesterday on the DDC, and he kind of laid it out in an interesting way there in terms of, it's not just right now you're thinking about. You got Jeannot's contract coming up next year, Carrier and Fabreau. We'll see what happens in terms of the Trennan situation this offseason. Will he sign a one-year deal and be up for contract again next year? Will it be a multi-year deal? David Poile did say that both of those options are on the table for Trennan this offseason. So that's interesting in the fact that that could affect what you do today in free agency. If you're worried about some future contracts down the road, do you maybe go the route of a one-year contract, or maybe at the most a two-year contract today in free agency? And if so, I mean, guys like David Perron and Phil Kessel and some of your older veterans that are not going to be looking for 4, 5, 6, 7-year deals, those come to mind when you start thinking about that way of thinking if you're David Poile and the Predators.
Yeah, and our friend Jeremy Rutherford in St. Louis, I saw he was on a St. Louis radio show talking about David Perron specifically. And he was talking about how he thinks it's going to take somewhere between $4 and $5 million per season to get David Perron under contract. And we talked about this yesterday. I mean, I would do that. I would absolutely take a 2-year shot at David Perron. I agree with David. I think that if the Predators are going to add to their top six, it needs to be something short term. Whether it's a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal, I don't think that they should lock themselves into another long-term contract. When you consider that there are so many players on their team that are signed, you know, we know Philip Forsberg is signed for 8 more years, Matt Duchene 4 more years, Johansson 3 more years, Granlund 3 more years, Sissons 4 more years, Josi is at least 6 or 7 more years. McDonough 4 more years, Ekholm 4 more years, Saros 3 more years. I just think they should avoid, you know, signing someone to a higher term deal, longer term deal.
I tell you what, the Max Pacioretty thing really intrigues me. But I think the price is, I mean, it's a high price, but it's not a huge commitment. I mean, it's 1 year, $7 million, and if you want to move on after, you can. Like, I think it's something that's worth looking into.
We
if you're
just
David Poile
received
and the Predators.
A text from Wiley Danuk,
oh, did we?
Who said, Pacioretty fits Poile's profile to me. I'm with you guys. Worth exploring. Seems like Vegas is desperate. Must shed money.
And the most intriguing part of that is, what would you have to give up to get him? And to that point, everybody knows that they're trying to get rid of some money. So I don't think the price in terms of the assets you'd have to give up would be that bad. Maybe something I'm looking into today if I'm David Poile and the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. NHL free agency beginning in just about an hour and a half officially. What do you think the Predators should do today? What do you hope the Predators do today in free agency? 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are your racing station, by the way. 102.5, 106.3 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the AM Better 301. Also, join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers to get you set for the racing weekend. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. NHL free agency beginning today. Adam, we are less than 2 hours away from the official beginning of free agency. There's already been some moves that have been made in terms of re-signings. Evander Kane going back to the Oilers. Evgeny Malkin, and when it looked like he could be walking away from Pittsburgh, comes to an agreement last night. So 4 years, I think $6.1 million roughly, the annual average value for Evgeny Malkin. So he's back in the fold there. And Johnny Gaudreau making it clear yesterday that he is not signing with Calgary and that he will be testing the market in free agency. So it looks like he's going to end up somewhere in the Northeast, maybe the Devils, maybe the Flyers, maybe the Islanders. But that looks to be the path for Johnny Gaudreau. The question is, what will the Nashville Predators do today as free agency begins? Forsberg's back in the fold. You've traded for Ryan McDonagh. You still need a top six forward, at least one, I think. What do you think the Predators do today? Who are some guys that kind of catch your interest that they could be looking at?
Well, there's actually something I wanted to throw out there. About an hour ago, Elliot Freeman tweeted that the Vegas Golden Knights are expected to announce extensions for Riley Smith and Brett Howden. I think it's Brett Howden. The Golden Knights are a team to watch, he says. Do they clear a room? And he said, I have heard Max Pacioretty's name out there. So I ask about Max Pacioretty. He has one more year on his contract. He's 33 years old, I believe. That's what I saw. He has a $7 million cap hit, which is a bit rich. But if you're looking for a veteran, proven, top six scorer, who's only signed for 1 year, so you don't have to worry about the cap space to re-sign your Tanner Janos and Alex Carriers and Dante Fabros and Connor Ingrams. You know, if the Knights are not in a place to retain salary, I don't think, because they need to shed all of the salary they can get.
Correct.
So I'm not sure the $7 million cap hit would work. You know, it would make it tough for the Predators. It would be very tight. But would a trade for Max Pacioretty entice you if that were on the table?
I would certainly look into it. Now, knowing that Vegas needs to shed some cap, like, I don't know that the price would be that bad for Pacioretty. Like, I'm interested to see what it would be in terms of what a trade would look like for him at this point. He is 33. He'll be 34 coming up in November. $7 million, like you said, just 1 year remaining on that contract. I mean, you start talking about the top six. I mean, Max Pacioretty playing with Ryan Johansson would be nice. Like that to me is a pretty good result. Now, he only had 39 games last year, 19 goals, 18 points. So he's nearly a point per game player. I keep saying points instead of assist. 19 goals, 18 assists, 37 points. He was nearly a point per game player last night. Good gracious, last season with the Vegas Golden Knights. So I like that option. What do you think of just his role and his fit, and what do you think the cost would be to get it?
Yeah, I like the player. I think Pacioretty has shown throughout his career that he can score a lot of goals. Let's see here. He has scored 30 goals five times, at least 30 goals five times in his career. No, six times. I'm sorry. He scored 30 goals six times in his career. Most recently in 1920, he had 32 goals in 71 games for the Vegas Golden Knights. Of course, a former captain of the Montreal Canadiens. So if you're looking for that experience, and as Sean was talking about, maybe filling some of that leadership void, Pacioretty, like McDonagh, would certainly fit that mold. I wonder what the acquisition cost would be, because I'm sure the Knights are probably not looking to take salary back. You know, you're looking at the trade that we saw from the Predators and the Lightning. You threw in Philip Myers and a prospect in Grant Mismatch. That was it. So I'm not sure if the Knights would accept a similar offer. I'm not sure what the equivalent would be for the Predators, but Yeah, Pacioretty would allow you to, you know, would allow you to improve in the top six, and would, you know, it, like you said, it's only 1 year. So if he wants to, if you don't want to re-sign him, you don't have to.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might be a more, you know, that might be
that's intriguing.
A better,
it really is
a better route than signing somebody. Darren Dreger reporting, sounds like the Colorado Avalanche are close to re-signing, and this is my editorializing 67-year-old Darren Helm. expect a very similar deal to Andrew Cogliano, 1 year.
It does feel like he's been around forever. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he had some big moments in the postseason.
Dennis on the text line says, didn't the Preds make a run for Pacioretty a few years back?
I believe they might have.
Look, they were rumored to make a run for
everybody
at that time.
Right. I would like to see. I'm trying to think of what that trade was from the Knights to the Knights and the Canadiens. I think Nick Suzuki was in that deal. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, in September of 2018, he was traded by the Canadiens for a second-round draft pick, Nick Suzuki, and Tomas Tatar.
Yes, and remember what happened less than 2 months later after that trade? The Predators got – no, that was actually the year after, so never mind. That was a year later with Kyle Turris.
Yes.
So scratch everything I just said.
You're struggling this segment.
Hey. I don't know. I'm texting back and forth with Jared. We're trying to figure some stuff out. But, yeah, what's that was a year later.
You're texting back and forth with Jared?
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Is he into our idea of charity boxing?
Well, maybe. Tannehill? We'll have to see.
Sponsored by whatever energy drink that Ryan Tannehill posted on his boat.
Yes.
That's the Celsius. Everyone off. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Celsius.
Dennis also texts back in and says, maybe they're just kicking the tires.
Well, get that horse poop off your shoe, Dennis.
Well done, Dennis. So it is going to be interesting because I do start thinking about guys on a 1 or 2 year deal. We played some audio earlier from David Poile. Matter of fact, Michelle, do we have that audio that we could pull up? Let's play that again from what David Poile had to say yesterday on Darren Donovan Chase. I thought his answer when he started talking about the Predators and what they could do today and the cap flexibility that they have, I thought his answer was pretty interesting and potentially kind of telling as to what the Predators could do today. Here's what David Poile had to say yesterday on the DDC.
David, as you look ahead, I can remember sometimes during free agency and also during the trade deadline, you come on a show like ours to say, look, the prices weren't the way we liked them. The prices were high. There's a supply and demand element every year. I'm curious what you think right now as you sort of carve out your budget to attack free agency here. You guys have said that you'd like to find maybe a top six forward. You have a budget, you know, I guess a ballpark, what you have ready to spend. It looks to me like there's a lot of possibilities out there, more so than some years. Maybe not at the very, very top. We'll see what happens in this last 24-hour period if some other guys are signed. But how do you like your options, maybe, to improve the roster?
Well, this too is complicated, even more complicated than the Forsberg negotiations. Let's start with the salary cap. We're in a situation coming out of COVID where we've made a deal with the Players Association in terms of their salaries and payback and all that stuff, that the cap is only going up $1 million this year, and it's only going up $1 million for the next 2 years. So we, like, and along with all the other clubs, are kind of hard-pressed to, you know, either letting guys go or not giving raises or, you know, trying to do all of those various and different things. For us, we have some money to spend on a forward in free agency, but a long-term contract is probably not in the cards, because when I look to next year, the following year, 23-24, where the salary cap only goes up a year, we have a number of players' contracts that are up next year, whether it be Carrier, Fabro, Janot, you know, Trennan, just to mention four young guys. So they're coming off of, most of those guys are coming off of entry-level contracts. And as they keep playing the way they did last year, they're not just going to get a raise, they're going to get a substantial raise. So I can't oversign, I guess, if that is the word, I could do it this year to get to the cap. But if I sign somebody to a multi-year deal, then something's going to have to give next year.
So that was David Poile yesterday on the DDC, and he kind of laid it out in an interesting way there in terms of it's not just right now you're thinking about. You got Janot's contract coming up next year, Carrier and Fabro. We'll see what happens in terms of the Trennan situation this offseason. Will he sign a one-year deal and be up for contract again next year? Will it be a multi-year deal? David Poyle did say that both of those options are on the table for Trent in this offseason. So that's interesting in the fact that that could affect what you do today in free agency. If you're worried about some future contracts down the road, do you maybe go the route of a one-year contract or maybe at the most a two-year contract today in free agency? And if so, I mean, guys like David Perron and Phil Kessel and some of your older veterans that are not going to be looking for 4, 5, 6, 7-year deals, those come to mind when you start thinking about that way of thinking if you're David Poyle and the Predators.
Yeah, and our friend Jeremy Rutherford in St. Louis, I saw he was on a St. Louis radio show talking about David Perron specifically, and he was talking about how he thinks it's going to take somewhere between $4 and $5 million per season to get David Perron under contract. And we talked about this yesterday. I mean, I would do that. I would absolutely take a 2-year shot at David Perron. I agree with David. I think that if the Predators are going to add to their top six, it needs to be something short term, whether it's a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal. I don't think that they should lock themselves into another long-term contract when you consider that there are so many players on their team that are signed. You know, we know Philip Forsberg is signed for 8 more years, Matt Duchene 4 more years, Johansson 3 more years, Granlund 3 more years, Sissons 4 more years, Josi is at least 6 or 7 more years, McDonough 4 more years, Ekholm 4 more years. Saros 3 more years. I just think they should avoid, you know, signing someone to a higher term deal, longer term deal.
I tell you what, the Max Pacioretty thing really intrigues me. But I think the price is, I mean, it's a high price, but it's not a huge commitment. I mean, it's 1 year, $7 million, and if you want to move on after, you can. Like, I think it's something that's worth looking into.
We
just David Poyle
received a text from Wiley Danuk, who said, Pacioretty fits Poyle's profile to me. I'm with you guys. Worth exploring. Seems like Vegas is desperate. Must shed money.
And the most intriguing part of that is, what would you have to give up to get him? And to that point, everybody knows that they're trying to get rid of some money. So I don't think the price in terms of the assets you'd have to give up would be that bad. Maybe something I'm looking into today if I'm David Poyle and the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. NHL free agency beginning in just about an hour and a half officially. What do you think the Predators should do today? What do you hope the Predators do today in free agency? 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Konezovic, intern Hanley, here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is a big day today, other than just NHL free agency. the one-year anniversary of Michelle Knezevic here on the program.
Yes, it is. 1 year ago. It's crazy. Come a long way, fellas.
That means it's also been 1 year since Pecorine retired from the National Hockey League. That happened a year ago today.
Yeah, it was a stressful first day.
I'm just glad that Chase still talks to people outside of the building.
You know,
I knew you were laughing about that in there.
I'm glad that he does
I would also like to point out that you played September twice today.
No, I didn't. I played other Earth, Wind, and Fire song. It's like, let's get loud.
No, you played September twice.
No, I didn't.
Let's get loud. Isn't that Jennifer Lopez?
I have no idea.
I don't know if that... actually, you're right. I'm singing the wrong song.
Yeah.
But it's a different Earth, Wind, and Fire song. I just can't think of
it. You got your J-Lo category memorized over there?
Like Don LaGreca said, you better bring it.
That's right.
No, Michael K.
By the way, Michelle Knezevic will be down along with Caroline Fenton next week at SEC Media Days. SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. So we're looking forward to that coming up next week. It is NHL free agency today. Jim on the text line in all capital letters says, no Kessel, no. So this is a very divisive topic amongst Predators fans. There are some that are all in on the Phil Kessel train and some that say, nah, no thanks. Don't want him.
I mean, it would be entertaining, I guess. I mean, he's not really the most warm and fuzzy. He's not the warmest and fuzziest guy.
He's not. But especially during his days in Toronto. That was interesting.
But yeah, I'm on board with the texter. I don't love it. And if we come on the air tomorrow and we're talking about it, I'll try to articulate my points better. But I don't think it makes your team better. I really don't.
Viking, go ahead.
No, that's all.
Viking Matt on the text line says, could the Preds max out the cap and then trade for someone during the season if needed, use draft picks? I mean, the thing that I guess that could come into the play that I doubt, I mean, I'd be surprised if it did, but I think you can go today, you can go 10% over the cap.
Yes.
And then you have to get back down under the cap by the time the season starts. So, I mean, technically you could be over the cap today if you're the Predators, and you'd have to find a way to figure that out by the time the season begins. Now, I would be surprised that that happens. Like, I don't know if I ever recall that really being the case for the Predators. It may have happened a couple of times, but I'd be surprised if that happens today with the Predators. Like, right now, as you look across the league, the two teams that are over the cap at the moment are Tampa Bay, who's just barely over the cap at, I think, about $933,000. And then Vegas is $2.6 million over the cap right now. So that leads to the Max Pacioretty discussions that we're having. They're going to have to find a way to get under the cap.
Yeah, and you know, I would if I had a choice between Pacioretty and Kessel, it's not even a conversation. So I'd be curious to see what happens there if the Golden Knights have to make a move. But yeah, I'm interested in watching a free agency today and seeing what happens. We'll have coverage of it here on the station. And you and I will talk about it all tomorrow morning, but I'm looking forward to sitting down and keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, too. I mean, and the one thing, I mean, this is going to be a crazy day, I think. I mean, I'm interested to see where Gaudreau ends up. You know, I think Kadri might be the most, I'm with you, might be the most intriguing contract to me, just to see what he ends up getting on the open market.
Yeah.
How many years is a team willing to give him? You know, could the Predators find themselves in the mix for somebody we're not thinking about right now? Like, you know, David Poile has not been afraid to make big moves before. I think they're going to do something today. I just wonder, could they be in the market for potentially a bigger move than we're thinking about right now?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, historically, David Poile has not been a big spender in free agency.
Nope.
Matt Duchene, we talked about this before. Matt Duchene, whom the Predators signed on the first day of free agency 3 years ago, is the largest free agent signing in Predators history, at least off the top of my head. That was an $8 million cap. And I'm not including re-signings in this. So this doesn't include Philip Forsberg or Roman Josi or anything like that. So, you know, oftentimes David Poile uses free agency to shore up the depth of a team, you know, whether it's signing Nick Bonino or Scott Hartnell or Matt Benning, Mark Borowiecki. It's not often someone, you know, big that, you know, the Predators don't do their best work in free agency.
Logan on the text line says, if we sign Kessel for every goal he scores this upcoming season, I'll post a video of me on Twitter consuming that many hot dogs in a row. And if he scores 30, I'll down a whole bottle of Heinz ketchup. That sounds like some Joey Chestnut activity.
Wait a minute. So when he scores his first goal, he'll eat one hot dog.
One hot dog. Then you get to 10. Second, going 10 in a row, baby.
Okay.
That seems like it could be dangerous to your health if that happens that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like not supposed to eat over a certain amount of hot dogs.
Well,
like
tell that to Joey Chestnut.
Something.
Well, is Joey Chestnut actually, is he really eating, though? It's not really, I mean, I know he's consuming them, but it doesn't really
but
look
he throws
like,
up, right?
Well, not, well, you, I can't, don't know. You can't throw up.
After.
Oh, yeah. A reversal of fortune is what they call it.
I have not really taken the deep dive into the Joey Chestnut post-eating
ritual.
You're
not into
ritual.
His gastrointestinal.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
know
what he
does.
Do you
guys
think
he's an athlete?
Would I consider Joey Chestnut an athlete? No, I would not consider him an athlete.
What?
It's not an athletic competition.
He is as much of an athlete as a NASCAR driver.
Okay, how do you define an athlete though?
You have to do like a physical sport, like he's eating.
It's kind of physical. It's an everyday activity. Physical toll.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not a physical toll, but no, he's not an athlete.
No.
It's definitely a physical toll.
Have you noticed though that oftentimes the best competitive eaters are quote unquote in shape?
Yeah.
You know, you would think that
I will say the
bigger guys would win. No, that's not how it works.
Last week, somebody got up on that stage after Joey Chestnut. He threw him right off there. So, he's got athleticism.
Yes.
For sure. But I don't think he's an athlete.
He's a decorated champion. Mustard yellow belt has not left his side in more than a decade.
Oh, man. No question.
I would advise against the texter eating that many hot dogs in a row, basically.
How much do you think Klingberg ends up getting today? He's the top defenseman on the market. Which, by the way, it looks like there could be some connections between Dallas and Brent Burns of San Jose. So that's something to monitor throughout the day today. How much do you think a guy like John Klingberg is worth, who obviously is a very good offensive defenseman? I would describe him probably as okay defensively.
Yeah.
What do you think a guy like him gets in the open market?
Well, what's he making right now? Do you know?
I don't off the top of my head, but I can figure that out very quickly.
You know, he's been linked to Carolina, and you know they have a very smart, forward-thinking front office. You know, if you're playing John Klingberg with someone like Jacob Slavin, you know that would accentuate his talents because Slavin is perhaps the best defensive-minded defenseman in the league.
His cap hit has been 4.25.
Yeah,
that's going to go up.
I think he might get at least double of that. So that's 8.5. Yeah, I mean, someone is going to throw a lot of money at Klingberg. You know, Greg mentioned Seattle yesterday because of his connection with his ex-teammate, Jamie Oleksiak, who left Dallas to sign with Seattle last year. He's going to get paid, but we talked about this yesterday. I think that contract's going to be regrettable. Klingberg is a good player, but I don't think he's going to be worth what he gets. But you can say that about a lot of free agents.
A lot of people saying Phil Kessel not worth it on the text line. John the Mailman says we're crazy. Go look at Joey Chestnut's training regimen. He's an athlete. Well, I'm not saying he's not in good shape. I'm just saying the act of what he does is not an
most dominant athlete.
I would not call him a professional athlete.
No.
Like when ESPN Stats
he's literally
info
called
says,
a professional eater.
When ESPN Stats and Info puts out, he's won his 15th consecutive championship and like ranks him next to like Tom Brady. Like we're not doing that.
I mean, that's like if that's the case, then I am probably technically a professional athlete in my consumption of Krispy Kreme donuts.
If Joey Chestnut is an athlete, the young men and women who participate in the Scripps National Spelling Bee are also professional athletes.
Exactly. I think Michelle
disagrees. I disagree, but we don't have enough time. But I disagree.
We're going to pick this up tomorrow at 6 a.m.
We are. So we'll be having you covered all day long here on the station on NHL Free Agency. What will the Predators do? Will it be a top six forward? Will it be a trade for a top six forward? I will say, the more that I think about this Max Pacioretty situation, the more I think the Predators should probably try to get involved on that. I'm really interested to see if he does get moved today, what that deal looks like, and what exactly the price is to acquire him. I would assume that Nick Cousins probably not back from the Predators today. I would also assume Matt Benning probably not back for the Predators today as well. Both of those guys are unrestricted free agents, so my guess is both of them gone, but I guess there's a chance that one or both could come back. I'd be surprised if either one of those guys are back, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't anticipate that.
So we'll see what happens on that front with the Predators today. It is NHL free agency Coming up here in about an hour at this point. It starts at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. Central today. Looks like Ryan McDonough is in town today in Nashville as well. So lots going on in the hockey world, and the DDC is coming up next. They'll have you covered on all things NHL free agency throughout the day. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.